This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. We are with you till 1 o'clock this afternoon. In the studio with me today, the terrible twosome of
Arvini Braj
and Audrey Raj.
Get in touch, folks. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 on Twitter or on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Over to WhatsApp first. We've got a couple of messages over here.
Yeah, I'm just going to read this one here by Y.E. who says, you know, she doesn't like when applying a design job when she's qualified for the first round and then the hiring company gives her some design or marketing tasks that makes her spend more time on the application, and then there's no guarantee that, you know, they're actually going to hire her for that job. Maybe they might use her ideas in those tasks for their campaigns anyway. So there's no probation, there's no contract for the time spent, the effort spent, and her ideas that she's actually putting forward just to get the job in the first place. And it's no guarantee for her.
We do something similar actually here at BFM when we're hiring interns, but it's not like a great deal of work. We ask our potential interns to do a short pretend interview with somebody they may you know find inspiring, and then we use that to kind of this is after we've already whittled down to two or three, so we know this person is committed to doing something like this. We know what their research is like, and I think for some companies, doing that is a very important part of the hiring process. That way, you know how this person thinks and how they research.
We have a couple of messages. One comes from Magat Faisal, who says, send the resume to lots of companies, but not even one called back. Then Shed says, we will contact you only when you have been selected. So you sit there waiting, waiting, and waiting. And then Kumaran says, how do entrepreneurs looking to get back into the corporate scene apply? Seems like a challenge.
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, to address the first issue there about, you know, sending out CVs and waiting and waiting and waiting. That's the thing, right? You know, and I think part of that is what spurs part of the second problem, where people just continue to send out their resumes because they are not hearing back from anybody. It would be much simpler if you could just say, you're not suitable for this job. Sorry, you didn't get it. Dum dum dum. One very quick email is perhaps all it would take.
Or maybe just set up like an auto reply.
Yeah.
You know? That's easy, you know?
You've got too many gaps in your resume, you're not coming in.
Yeah.
Something as simple as that. Okay, we should move on. Story number three. Interesting story about T-Live, how they're aiming for world domination. What are they doing now?
So, okay, if you remember the whole story of how T-Live was established, and it was...
It's bubbling somewhere in the back of my brain.
There you go. So T-Live may have had a tumultuous beginning, but it is now poised for world domination, says the Business Insider. The brand was initially created after a high-profile legal spat between Loop Holding and, of course, Taiwanese franchise Chartime back in 2017, I think late 2016, which ended with Loop Holdings rebranding 161 Chartime outlets it previously operated into new T-Live stores. So Loop Holding, of course, was the parent company, the franchisor for Malaysia from Taiwanese franchise Chartime. So fast forward 2 years later, the company is now eyeing a public listing to fund the drink chain's aggressive expansion. An IPO is slated to take place somewhere this year or next. And, Brian Liu, CEO of Loop Holdings, he's been giving interviews to the press over the past 2 weeks or so. And I think our very own Keith Kam from the BFM News team, he met up with Brian last night. And he just gave me a gist of what their discussion was like. And so I'm just going to go down some of the points. Number one, Loop Holdings is in expansion mode after having amicably settled its legal dispute with Taiwan's La Caffa International. Brian refused to give details about the settlement. Of course, I think that's a little hush-hush. But this is what he did say.
Both parties have been in talk for settlement for a long time. So it means that when the legal being settled amicable, from now on, anywhere else, both parties can open. They want to open in Malaysia, we want to open in Taiwan, elsewhere in the other part of the world. No issue at all.
So now that La Caffa and Loop Holdings are friends, this means that Loop can focus on growing its brand like anywhere. So both Chartime and T-Live can open outlets anywhere they want. And for T-Live, this means they can even open in Taiwan, where La Caffa is from, where Chartime is from. Loop says that T-Live in Taiwan is a possibility as it opened its first outlet in China, I think back in November 2018. And one of its directors is apparently Taiwanese. And so, you know, can help lah. It also believes that it can do well in Taiwan as it offers a distinct Southeast Asian flavor in its offering. So I think what Tea Life is saying is a strength of theirs is being able to kind of like adjust their flavors to meet the palate of whichever country that they're going in. They realize, I think they've even offered like Vietnamese coffee flavors, you know, some of the things that they can do. I know in China, their durian flavored milk teas are very popular as well.
They
see a demand there.
Syrup Bandung version here as well, I believe.
There you go. So they feel like they can kind of specialize and this is what's working for them. Lube is opening its first Tea Life outlet in UK this month in the city of Manchester, followed by one in Camden in London. They are using the UK as a platform to enter the rest of mainland Europe. Here is what he had to say about why Europe.
The main objective of opening in UK as soon as we could is because we realized there's bigger part of the blue ocean right now. In terms of bubble tea perspective, it's going to be in Europe. Europe started to gain a popularity and our vision is to put our flight into UK market, slowly gain up some popularity and awareness about the brand. So while we are working on UK markets, we are also starting to speak with some prospect already in Paris, some of the key market in Europe. The next 3 to 5 years growth for our industry will be in Europe.
I am very skeptical about bubble tea doing well in England.
Yeah. Mm.
English Why? People are very fickle about their tea. But, you know, if it's aimed at kind of university students, particularly in Manchester, that's a smart idea. It's a very big university town. There's a lot of international students there. There's a lot of Southeast Asian students there. And it's very likely that they're going to have stuff there. And from what I'm understanding, Chai Time is already in Chinatown in London. Mm. So, you know, it kind of makes sense. But I don't know. We'll see.
So here's the thing. The strategy to open in these locations, Camden and in Manchester, is to kind of break the stereotype that all bubble tea outlets can only do well in Chinatown. Oh. This is according to Brian. So case in point, Tea Life recently opened in Geelong, which is about 80 kilometres southwest of Melbourne. This is, you know, Keith Kamp's fantastic geography here, you know. 80 kilometres southwest of Melbourne. And apparently it's been seeing steady queues until today. And so that is UK and Europe. Expansion into India is apparently taking longer than anticipated despite having signed a deal there to partner sometime mid last year. Apparently some formalities still need to be ironed out. The plan is for India 150 stores by 2024.
But they haven't got any yet.
I'm not entirely sure what's happening, but the plan is 150 stores. For Malaysia, they feel like it's already tapping into the bubble tea market via its partnership with Petronas. That's kind of interesting as well. Mm. More details to come on this, plus their whole strategy on focusing on corporate-owned stores instead of franchising like Chai Time did, how that's going to work out. Of course, corporate-owned stores means that those who start those businesses will require higher capital, which is one of the reasons that Lube is seeking to raise money from capital markets. It's aiming to list by the first half of 2020, so, you know, in about 13-14 months' time. And in Brian's own words, become the first listed bubble tea company, and the listing is most likely to be on Bursa Malaysia.
Now,
so that's the plan.
I don't want to use too many puns, but not to burst the bubble, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it feels as though Chai Time and Tea Live and all of these kind of bubble tea franchises have lived in that bubble for a little while, and I'm not so sure as though they are as popular now as they have always been.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, no.
I think they're only becoming more popular because I see more like new bubble tea stores like popping up and like lines and lines of people just waiting outside. And they're more hipsterish than Tea Life used to be. But I don't know, I'm seeing the bubble tea thing sort of like, you know, get like a second life.
And I was at Mid Valley over the weekend and the line for, I can't remember if it's Tea Life or it's Chai Time because like, you know, the colors just look the same, right? But the line was sneaking all the way down. So I think there's still demand, Rich.
All right, we've got to wrap up, folks. We are running out of time for this talk set. We're going to come back with our final story of the day, how Singapore are to introduce an anti-fake news law allowing for the removal of articles. Don't go anywhere. You listen to Enterprise Biz Bytes. We've got Huey Lewis and the news up next with Working for a Living. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.